Bible talks about being life and death. There's power of life and death in your tongue. Sometimes we get a little bit twisted. We start talking about everything bad that's going on, but what we need to do is talk about how good God is and start making declarations of life, no matter what situation you might be in. We know that we are victorious. So as we begin to do that, we want to sing about our house is blessed. Our family is blessed.
My health.
Come on, sing about your health.
Blessed.
If you need a healing in your body, your health is blessed.
My church is blessed.
Come on, my city is blessed.
My nation is blessed.
From my God,
he is blessed.
My house. Come on now. My family.
My church is blessed.
My city is blessed.
My nation is blessed.
For my God is blessed. My house is blessed. Yes.
My family is blessed.
My health.
Yes.
And my wealth.
My wealth is blessed.
Hallelujah.
I'm blessed.
Hallelujah.
My health.
this place, let's just lift our hands together. I believe that God is here and that God is powerful and so strong. Jesus, I thank you that in this moment, in this next song, I believe that miracles are about to happen. I believe that in this moment, lives are about to be turned around. I believe in this moment, if you came in here sick, you're going to leave healed. I believe in this moment, if you feel like you're in bondage, you're about to be taken out of bondage. In Jesus' name. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are healed. Carrying our burden. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you just continue to move here in a mighty and a powerful way. I pray that any area of our lives that is empty, God, you fill it tonight. I ask that anywhere there's weakness, you bring strength tonight. Come on, let's pray together. God, I pray for those that are sitting around us, from the platform to the balcony, that God, your spirit would be all involved in all that's done, I pray. And before we leave, we pray, your will be done, thy kingdom come. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Would you turn around and say hello to about four people while the choir comes to the platform and the ushers get ready for the evening offering? If you could do that for me, that would be fantastic. Choir to the platform, ushers to the front, money to the buckets is where we're going. All right. God bless you, everyone that's watching online. We're so glad that you're joining us. Be with us in person sometime. You would be blessed, and we'd be blessed to have you with us as well in our evening service. I like to mention this lately, but if there are those of you watching online that have never been to a service here, you need to get here in person and experience what God is doing here in Charleston. This coming Friday night is the I Am Woman, Be the Light conference, starting Friday night and then ends Saturday morning. And the ladies, it's not anything typical. It is very exciting. It's fun. It's engaging. I think that you're going to really enjoy it. And when the women of the church get ignited, and when the church women of the church get united, then some tremendous things are going to happen. And so husbands, do me a favor. Sons, do me a favor. Encourage the wives and the mothers to get to church here Friday night, Saturday morning in the Epic Center. If you can only be at one or the other, then you can do that. It's the same price if you come to one as it is to two. It's free either way. So, but if you really want a bargain, you can get it two services for zero money. And so if you're going to get... Anyways, that's where we're going with that. Monday nights, volleyball starts up at Faith Bible College. So I guess there's a team of incredibly athletic and agile and jumpy people in our church. And they go up and they challenge. I think they challenge the students. Is that right? We take, it's us against you and you against us. All right. So I'm a part of both, so I can't win and I lose either way. So let's get our offering together tonight. How many get your offering in your hand? Just get your offering in your hand. I pray, Lord, that these gifts that we give tonight go and fulfill, and we know they fulfill your purpose, but God, let greater things happen with what we're giving tonight. And Lord, let greater things happen to those who are participating in the kingdom process of sowing and reaping. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are watching online and you want to be a part of this financially, go to the website. You can give there. God bless you as you give.
Been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lie. If you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom for saving, well, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched the light of day and the dead of night. I know we've all found ourselves worn out. The same old fight, and we've all run into things we know ain't right. Well, there's a better life. Well, there's a better life. Oh, you got pain. Well, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom. And if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, somebody testify. Oh. If you believe that, and if you can feel it, if you receive it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got faith. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains.
Let's sing that again. You got faith.
Oh, if you got faith, well, he's a pain taker. And if you feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving. He's a prison shaking savior. You got chains. I got a chain breaker.
Oh, can you do the verse two more time?
We'll find ourselves in the light of day. And we've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run into things we know ain't right. But there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. You know what? Cause if you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, well, he's a prison shaking savior. You got shame. If you receive it, if you can feel it,
somebody get on your feet tonight. Come on.
Oh, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
One more time, if you believe it.
If you believe it. Testify. You got pain. He's a chain breaker.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, choir. Awesome job. Let them know. Grab your Bibles while you're standing. Let the choir know you're grateful for them tonight. I know I asked you to get your Bibles, clap, and let you know. I asked too many things at once, but that's not uncommon for me. Just somebody say, thank you, choir. Yeah, your voices are free. All right. Open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, if you would, please. The book of Zechariah. I was just thinking while I was standing there, you know, I've preached all over Maine and into New England and into Canada, and I'm just going to report to you because you don't, I'm looking over the crowd, okay, you don't get around as much. I can't say that to everybody that comes here because they've been everywhere and on their way to somewhere else. But I can tell you the churches I preach at, they don't have... Like, our third string worship leaders are better than most of their best right there. And I don't say that to compare, but actually I do. And but they're anointed is what I'm saying. It's not about talent only. It's about the anointing. And those people that have that anointing paid a price to get it. And some people just rather get the right key than get the right anointing. But how many know it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, not the right key? And so let's thank God for all of our worship that we have around here. Thank God for every single one of them. I'll take some monitor. That would be very helpful. All right. Open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, if you would, please. Zechariah chapter 4. We've been kind of doing this little study, and I think I'll be done with Zechariah tonight. But the first week we talked about the freedom to be able to do what God wants us to do, to go beyond our normal expectations, and then... last week we talked about the freedom of, I don't have any idea what I preached about last week. But it seemed to go over okay. And then tonight I do remember what I got to speak about tonight. That really is all that matters. Hey, where's Jacob? Come here, Jacob, real quick. Like quicker than that. Just before I get into the word. That's awesome. Now you're moving. I like that. How old were you yesterday? You were 16 yesterday? How old are you today? He's 17. That means today's his birthday. Come on, wish him a good happy birthday if you would, please. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. You can have a seat. All right. Jacob helps out a lot up here on the platform, getting stuff up and down and back and forth and where that needs to be. And he's real good. We got all kinds of good young people around here, don't we? All kinds of good young people, all kinds of good old people. Amen. I want to say thank you for investing in the next generation. I'm very serious when I said this morning, I'm kind of on a mission. We're not going to lose the next generation. And if you go from church to church, they're losing the next generation. They don't seem to even know it or care. But we're not going to lose the next generation now, are we? You've invested too much, and there's just too much potential in that next generation. Next Sunday morning, I'll tell you, next Sunday will be the third week I've been talking about parenting. I'm going to do something I've never done before. Ever done before here on the platform. I'm going to give scripture for about 15 minutes on the power of a praying parent, but then I'm going to do something that we've never done before, and I believe it's going to be very effective. So I hope that you'll be prayerfully getting ready for next week, and I think God's going to really set some things in motion for some families to get going. I'll take some monitor here if it doesn't cost me anything. Zechariah chapter 4. If it does, I'll just put it on Paul's bill, all right? I'm messing with you, Alfie. Thank you for your help. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 7. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." I like that. "And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Verse 8. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also finish it." That's awesome right there. What I'm saying is whatever God put your hands to start, God says your hands will finish. "His hands shall also finish it." Somebody shout, "I'm going to finish it." Amen. "Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." Verse 10. Praise God. "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." I know it sounds kind of like like a song somewhere between the Doors and Led Zeppelin, but you're just going to have to follow me as I preach it. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? Verse 12 says, and I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? It does seem kind of like somebody's on a trip, doesn't it? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Jesus, we have ears. Let us hear and speak to every individual here and online. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to thank all of those that help us with sound and video and cameras on Sunday night, especially in the morning as well. But we have the largest audience online on Sunday evenings. And so we're grateful. There'll be hundreds and hundreds of views of the service tonight. And these people make it happen. And it's fantastic, isn't it? Let's give them a hand. Let them know we're grateful in the sound room. All the team. If you'd give me, I don't need a lot of time. So Israel had been slaves, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, in Babylon. That Israel had been slaves in Egypt, got set free, then became slaves in Babylon, and they came back to Jerusalem. They came back with the goods that King Nebuchadnezzar had stolen for Israel. And after 70 years of captivity, they came back to Jerusalem to see their city totally destroyed, like into rubble. So it would be much like the pictures that you and I have seen of Hurricane Irma coming through different islands and just utterly destroying them. That's what happened. You ever seen pictures of a city after like World War II? They're just in rubble, just piles of debris. That's what Israel looked like. And these people came back and they began to view the city that they had loved. 50,000 of them had returned. But soon their joy for being home was replaced with heaviness as they began to see and get into the reality. When they got beyond the nostalgia of going to a familiar place, they realized the reality of rebuilding that place and how much work and how discouraging it can be. After 7 months of just grieving, they began to work as one man. They began to get unified and they began to put their lives back together again. But what happened is on the other side of the river, there was an enemy that heard of their recovery. And how many know the devil hates it when God's people begin to recover what's been lost? And when the church begins to recover the gifts of the Spirit, when the church begins to recover the dynamic power of God, when the church begins to recover soul winning, when the church recovers a young generation, guess what? The devil hates it and does everything to discourage it. And so he used people to come in and discourage the people from the work that they were at one time successful at. How many of you known somebody, or maybe it was you yourself, at one time were in the faith and had victory, but yet got discouraged and began to draw back? Right? Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, why have you started so good, but why are you petering off? Why are you stalling? Why are you decreasing? And so they begin to understand after 16 years, they get discouraged, they start going home, Zerubbabel and Joshua are watching the people who were one time, listen, who at one time were very involved in building the city and building the temple. The people that at one time were very involved in building the work of God now get discouraged. And guess what they do when they get discouraged? Instead of building God's house, in discouragement, they decide to build their house. That's not worth overlooking. Watch that pattern. As soon as they got discouraged in God's house, they decided they'd put all their effort into their own house. It's about the way it goes. It's not that people stop getting involved, they just get involved in something different. All of this took place when Zechariah was maybe 10 years old. And 16 years later, he walks up to where the temple is, and all he sees is a slab. He remembers as a little boy when that slab was poured. When they poured that slab, there was like a Macy's Day Parade that took place. The whole city, they had big SpongeBob SquarePants balloons just floating. Santa Claus and the Rockettes were there. And he remembers that when he was 10 years old. He remembers how the priest had worked so hard and then that everybody that just left the work. And all of a sudden, God speaks to him in his mid-20s. He's 25 to 30 years old, and God puts a word in his mouth. When he stands up to speak, people say, "Who's that guy?" That's Zechariah. Their hair stands up on end. Why? Because the name Zechariah means God remembers. Genesis chapter 8, in the time of flood, the Bible says God remembered Noah. In Genesis 19, in the time of judgment, the Bible says God remembered Lot. In Genesis 30, in a time of barrenness, God remembered Rachel. In Psalm 98:3 says, He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Psalm 105, verse 8, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And I want to say to you tonight that he's the God that still remembers the promises that he made to you, whether they were last week, last year, or last century. I've come to tell you, you may have forgotten, but God has not forgotten. I think you ought to give God some praise tonight that he's not amnesia. He doesn't have amnesia. He remembers his promises. He remembers his promises. And when he stands up to this discouraged people who've decided to put all their effort into their own houses and not into the house of God, he begins to declare to him the words that I preach to you here tonight. And he begins to say to them, in essence, what the message I'm preaching tonight is, if you want to recover what has been lost, you need a fresh anointing. That's it. You can check out if you want to. Just look on your phone, check your emails, whatever. But that's the message that Zechariah is bringing them. Whatever area you want recovered, go to the Holy Spirit. I'm always constantly trying to figure ways to communicate simple Bible truths in ways that we can understand. And I think when it comes to the anointing, this is the most simple and I think biblically accurate way I can say to you what the anointing is. The anointing is the ability to reach into a place that you cannot see, get a hold of something, and make it impact something you can see. The anointing is not a feeling. It's not a style. It's not a length of service. It's not the name that of your family name. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not any of these things. I think that we need to understand the anointing is not super energy. It's not volume. The anointing is not an age. The anointing is not an era. The anointing is the ability to reach. How many know just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it's not there? For the Bible says that God has actually created the earth. He took something out of the invisible and put it into the visible. Boy, we could get really weird on that one. But I can promise you that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what separates the church from the good old boys club and the PTA and the Shriners, and I'm not against any of those people, I'm just telling you what makes the church different is that we ought to know that God has anointed us to reach into a realm that you cannot see and bring back something that you can see so we can reach into a realm and tell the drug addict be free. We can reach into the realm and tell a culture there's hope. We can reach into the realm and say to the sick body, come on, be healed. We can reach into a realm and tell the guilty and the shame be free from it. For he's a God that can do anything. The invisible is real, you just can't see it. I don't have time to deal with that, but that's what the anointing is. The anointing is the ability to pull into reality things that other people are not aware of. You remember when Jesus was at the wedding of Cana of Galilee and they ran out of juice? My Bible says it's wine, it's juice. They ran out of juice, and they came to Jesus. Where is the juice? And Jesus says, it's not my time. And Mary turns to the boys and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. All of a sudden, it became his time. How many know when your mom tells you to do something, you got time to do it? Jesus was a good son. If you want to live a good long life, when mom says it's time to do something, trust me, friend, make time. But if Mary had not done that, and you know what happened, Jesus said, all right, go get the water pots, fill them with water, and when they poured them out, it was wine. I haven't got time to tell a joke, but it's a good one. I'll tell it. I've got another 30, 40 years here, so stay tuned. And when she did that, you know what she did by her faith? She reached out and got something that was the invisible and made it something visible. How many of you could use some of that power to reach out to get something you cannot see because you need something you do see to be affected? Well, here's what he says. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Let's just talk about that. That word might means the compilation of resources like a military. That word might is a military term where like right now, our military is gathering its resources. Because for real, North Korea has said that it will attack us. And so our military is gathering its resources. Might. Might. It's when you get everything you can. Power means a rock or something that cannot be moved. We think that we're tougher than our circumstances. But sometimes our circumstances prove to be tougher than our natural ability. So might is using your resources. Power is using your own will or strength. But what the writer is saying, when you run out of resources, when you run out of willpower, then guess what? There's one more place to go. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might can you get that thing done. You've lost the willpower for your kids to do it right, but by my spirit it shall. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a verse of encouragement for weary and unresourced people. I always read this, unfortunately, it's nobody's fault but mine, I always read this kind of like as a rebuke. Not by might. You know, it's almost like God's pointing his long finger at you. Not by might. He's not saying don't use your might. No, let's stop reading into the Bible what we think. And let's let the Bible tell us what to think. And what Zechariah is saying, good, use your resources. I've seen a lot of lazy people quote this scripture. Why don't you go help somebody? Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. No, he's not saying don't use your resources, don't use some willpower. He's saying after you've used your resources, my goodness. Come on, somebody, get with me. After you've used your resources, after you've used your willpower, you haven't used everything yet. Maybe you didn't get it back when you used your resources, and maybe you're getting tired, but guess what? There's still another place to go. That's the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you've run out of money, when you've run out of relationship, when you've run out of will, and you've run out of strength, guess what? God hasn't run out of spirit. Praise God. And there's something here to help you get the job done. And isn't it true sometimes we see God do his best when we've run out of everything? I'm not advocating running out of willpower. I'm not advocating running out of stuff. I'm just saying sometimes when we get to the end of ourselves is when we're open to his Holy Spirit. And so what God was saying to these people, and give me about 12 minutes to get my 4 points out, is this. What God was saying is, look, I know for 16 years you've used all of your physical resources that you can. And I know for 16 years you have willed yourself to do everything you can. He says, but guess what? When you run out of all that, God says, don't forget, I can still help you. You don't need it. Maybe you've still got lots of resources and willpower, but maybe somebody online is watching. And somebody needs to just give yourself a break and say, guess what? Apparently I'm not going to get this done. Apparently he is. Apparently this isn't going to be able to something you stand up and say, well, I used all my connections. And apparently you're not going to be able to get up and say, you know, I used all my youthfulness. Apparently you're going to get up after this and say, you know what? If it had not been for the Lord, this would not be. But because the Lord was on my side, I know that it got done by him. Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise and thank God for his character. Somebody, not everybody, not everybody, but somebody needed to hear it tonight, that when you're at the end of yourself, you just are in a position to find out you're right at the beginning of God. I would say that it's not comfortable. I would rather keep lots of resources and lots of willpower, but I have found out that God's got a whole lot more than I'll ever be able to produce. Can I be real about that? Number one, here we go. How does it work? When you get a fresh anointing, a touch from God, number one, you get the power to recover lost purpose. Zechariah 4, verse 7 says these words, and it's not on the screen, and it's not on my iPad. He says, this mountain, when he says this mountain shall be removed, what he's talking about is that on the Temple Mount where there was a slab, they had, this is strange, they brought all their garbage. It was like a transfer station. How many of you know whatever you ignore deteriorates? Isn't that funny? You lock a house up. How many know you're better off to have somebody live in your house while you're gone than to leave it empty? Because whatever you ignore deteriorates. If you ignore the work of God, if you ignore the anointing, if you ignore what God is doing, guess what? It will deteriorate. And when the people went and they saw the temple and they began to get interested again, all they could see was a mountain of problem, and they would have, in other words, all they saw was a pile of disappointment. How many of you have ever faced piles of disappointment before in your life? Come on, how many of you have ever faced some piles? How many of you are looking at a pile of disappointment now? I know you thought I was going to say something else. This pile of disappointment, but God is saying, is if you'll move into His Spirit, this that appears to be a pile of disappointment will actually turn into something that will fit your purpose. Guess what? The pile of sickness is a disappointment. But if it came, God says, I'm going to make it work for your good. I feel like preaching here tonight. I don't know if you feel like being preached to, but I've come to tell you, if you got a pile of debt, guess what? As soon as you give it to God and come into the anointing, God says, I'll use that as miracle ground. Hallelujah. You've got a pile of conflict, but God says, as soon as you get my Spirit in it, I'm going to use it as a place to grow a miracle in your relationships. Somebody say amen. Amen. He says, speak grace to it. Speak to the mountain, Jesus said, and the mountain will be removed. Number two, the anointing helps you to receive strength to finish. Strength to finish. What your hands started, the prophet said, they will finish. When you brought those children to this platform to be dedicated to the Lord, you handed them over to a pastor, probably me. And publicly, we dedicated that baby to the Lord. I feel like reminding somebody tonight that you put that baby into the hands of God. Maybe you did it 4 years ago, 4 months ago, or 40 years ago. I got news for you. If that baby is not behaving like you had set its course on, just listen to what I'm going to tell you. Stay in the anointing. Don't slip into the flesh. Don't start getting carnal. Don't do what I see a lot of parents do. Just get spiritually comatose. Flatline, just a corpse going to church. I would suggest to you, you need to say, Lord, give me a fresh anointing, because I'm not quitting on my baby. I'm not quitting on my grandchildren. I'm not quitting on my family. I'm going to fight until everybody is going to heaven. Come on, somebody shout, I'm going to finish. Look, being a parent can be exhausting. But when you've run out of resources, and when you've run out of willpower, you haven't run out of the Spirit. Come back to the altar. Get a fresh anointing. Number three. Come on, musicians. You get the ability to see things for what they really are. He says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Hello. How many of you have ever walked away from a conversation that you didn't think was going to be significant, but then after it was over, you're like, wow, that was important. I think that we get so busy that we fail. When we're not in the anointing, we don't realize the significance of certain people. When we're in the anointing, we just walk by people and we don't realize God's up to something in that person's life. When you're in the anointing, you then begin to realize the significance of an apology. It must be hot out because you got that look on your face tonight. I'm used to it. I don't like it, though. How many of you have ever had somebody apologize to you and it turned a dark, cloudy day into a bright, sunny day? How many of you have ever apologized to somebody and it turned a hard season around and all of a sudden you began to feel the joy and the light of the Holy Ghost come along and you had no idea? You know what the anointing does? When I'm not under the anointing, significant or even small things that are significant, I don't see them. But when you're in the anointing and you give somebody $10, it may not seem like much to you, but you have no idea what that $10 communicates to that person when you're in the anointing. I'm going to say that many of your miracles are in the little things. But because we're so busy looking for the big bodacious things, we fail to see the miracle because we're locked onto the big things when God says, I often use my still, small voice. Bible college students, sometimes the sermons that you don't think are very good at all can be the most insignificant message that you've ever preached to somebody before. Hello? Right? 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 Don't depend on the people's response. See what I'm going through tonight? But because... See, all you are like sitting there, but you have no idea. They're studying this whole thing. They're like, what do I do if I'm in his shoes? I'll tell you what you do. You don't mention it. Unless you're a Bible college president, and then you're testing the guinea pigs. But you know what? I could easily let people just look at me, and I have to get over it whenever I preach, because I'm in Maine. Like, if I preach down south, man, I could go to a Methodist church, and they'd run the aisle, and not because of me, they just run the aisle. They just run the aisle, just because they've got aisles. That's what they're for. They're to be run in. But I understand if I'm in the anointing, just because people don't respond like you think they should, sometimes God is using an insignificant point in our minds, but it hits the right person in the right seat at the right night, at the right time, for the right situation, and all of a sudden, whatever, I'll go home and think, and everybody does it, I'll go, oh, I don't know if that, no, but that person will just say, you know, that one thing you said unlocked a whole world of freedom for me. And you have no idea when you go to work tomorrow, somebody that you shake their hand and say, I'm praying for you. Do you think people walk around in this world constantly hearing people saying, I'm praying for you? When's the last time you said to a coworker that's not saved, I'm praying for you? And they say, you know, I hear that all the time. I wish people would stop saying that to me. Everywhere I go, people are praying for me. Come on. When you go to the store and that clerk gives you the wrong change back and they look tired and weary and you turn around and you say to them, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're trying and I'm praying for you and God is on your side and he's not against you. You have no idea what that single parent has gone through all night long. But when you're in the anointing, you know that little things produce big results when you're in obedience. When you're in the anointing, it says simple things. Wash your eyes. Pour the water into vessels. Pick up your bed and walk. Not against Greek. I'm not against atmosphere. I'm not against doing special things. But I'm going to tell you, God most often works in the simplicity of things. And then lastly, he renews your strength. You become sons of fresh oil in other ways. In other words, he says, you're going to be like the candlestick that has a continual... He gives this picture of a candlestick beside a olive tree, and the oil just continues to flow into the olive tree, the oil flows into the candle, and it always burns. It never stops burning because it has an endless supply of oil. You always, when you're in the anointing, you never run out of spiritual encouragement. The Bible says that they that endure to the end shall be saved. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Let me read it to you and then I'm done. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I read this to the students the other night. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than the wisdom and honor. Dead flies makes the oil stink. How many of you have witnessed a miracle of all bunch of dead house flies and now all of a sudden on a warm day have come back to life? It is a modern miracle. Where did these guys go? Where did these bugs lay their eggs? In other words, he's saying the way to ruin the anointing is to stay involved with dead things. I told the students the other day that word dead means necromancy. Necromancy, to be sanitary in service, is to fall in love with dead things, dead beings, to have inordinate affection for a dead thing. Ladies and gentlemen, being connected to dead music, dead churches, dead people, dead relationships, dead thoughts, dying environments, dying atmospheres. You know what that thing does? That ruins your anointing. But what you need to do is say, Lord, I cannot in my own strength and my own willpower finish and recover what's been lost. God, I need a continual refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're not by might nor by power. The girl that got her certificate this morning, honey. Brandy. I wanted to call her Brittany. Good job this morning, by the way, Dalton. Brandy came up. Did you hear her? How many of you heard her testimony this morning? Was that not like, wow. Wow. What? That was something, Heather, wasn't it? I just sat back. It was unbelievable. Do you know Brandy had an MRI this week with a CAT scan? They say there's a tumor on her brain, and they're going to tell her this week what they're going to do about it. That little girl never mentioned it. She just got up here and talked about how God came into her life and she took her from being broken and insecure and out of it, and now she's victorious. And I'm telling you, a bunch of lazy, dead Christians out there, you can have them. What that she's not connected to a dead faith. She's not connected to a dead religion. That happened because she got connected to a living church. That's what the anointing will do. I'm believing God's going to touch that little girl. If he can touch her life and change it around, he can touch her body and heal her of anything that's going on. But that didn't come because she used her resources or her will. She came to the end and said, I need God. And God said, I'm happy to help you with that. Come on, let's stand together tonight. And let's just begin to say, Lord, give me a fresh anointing. Would you please? All over this building. All over this building. Oh God, grant me a fresh anointing. Would you please? Would you please, Lord, I would have a fresh anointing in my life. God, I constantly slip and try to do it in my own strength. Oh, but God, give me something that is beyond resources, something that is beyond willpower. Give me something that is supernatural. Let's pray it right now. Lord, I pray a fresh anointing on every individual in this building tonight. We cut away dead things, dead conversations, dead thinking patterns. We leave it behind because we've got too much life to connect to tonight. Lord, pour out on us like showers of blessings the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that wants a fresh anointing, stand around this altar with me tonight. We'll close in prayer. Would you come quickly? Come quickly, if you would, please. Move quickly and as close to the front as you can. And God is going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it.